I'll get you back for it later. I never knew hecklers went to the front row. Usually they go in the, stay in the back. So good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Has God been good to you?
Amen.
Has he been great to you?
Yes.
Woo-hoo. So today, we're going to be doing something a little different. We're going to go through a little relationship counseling. I know that I need it. I'm sure there are those of you out there who need it. I'm sure there are those of you who don't, but a little refresher never hurts. And I know there's some of you out there who think that they don't need it, but secretly do. Now, I know you were expecting a sermon of some sort today, so to make sure that you're not disappointed, so now when someone asks you how the sermon was on Sunday, you could tell them that it was brimstone and fire and heaven and hell. So today we're going to cover relationships. Well, just one, the most important one, and that is the one with Jesus. So the Bible tells us that we are all the bride of Jesus, the church as a whole. But we are all part of the church. Therefore, we are all the bride that Jesus is coming back for. So as in a marriage, we are all in some phase of a relationship with Jesus. Otherwise, why would we be here? So it might be that you're in that curious stage where, like a beautiful woman or a handsome man, and you see him and you want to get to know more information about them. It might be that acquaintance phase where you've talked to them, you know their name, but there's nothing beyond that. It might be that you're in the dating phase. You know, you go to his house, you talk to him quite a bit. Maybe it's actually serious. You've committed yourself. And you're having a little bit of trouble adjusting to that new lifestyle as you do in any marriage. It might be rocky where there's a lot of arguing and fighting, and it's only one way. Or it might be that it's blessed. And I don't know what phase of the relationship you're in. Only you and he know that. But no matter what stage of the relationship that you're in, there's always ways to make it better. Because there are very few of us who can say that we have the perfect relationship with Jesus. I can't. Now, I know that you might be asking, does Jesus even want a relationship with me? And the answer is, yes, he does. So Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and eat with him and he with me. John 14:21, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. John 14:23. Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. John 14:20, on that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. John 10:14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and they know me. John 14:3, and after I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to myself, so that you will be where I am. Hosea 2:19-20, and I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. So now, what does it take to have a serious and functioning relationship? I know that a lot of those of you who have been married for a long time know the answer to this. Make no mistake, it takes work. Lots and lots of work. We are in this relationship for the long term, through the good times and through the bad. And just as in real life, you have to build this relationship with a good, solid foundation, lest it fall apart. And you also have to add to it and improve upon it continually. And so it is with your relationship with Jesus. You have to love Jesus. He loves you. So do you love him? Do you truly love him? How much do you love him? Do you love him with all your heart? So just let that sink in for a moment, and let's look at some of the components of a successful relationship. So along with hard work is patience. Do you have the patience to let him work in you? Do you have the patience to develop a good, strong relationship with Jesus? When married couples first start out, there has to be a lot of patience for that marriage to work as they get to know one another beyond the infatuation stage. Now, Romans 8:28 tells us that we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So we have to have patience. We have to have patience in his process and his sanctification in us. He is making us better than we can perceive. And we have to have patience in the good times and in the dark times. It's like a child's body. It does not reach its full stature or height unless it goes through growing pains. And the same is true for our spiritual walk. Now, you have to have patience because he has patience with you. You might think that he's given up on you, but the opposite is true. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." If you were to turn around, you would see him there with his hand outstretched to you, waiting to start this walk with you, or waiting to pull you in even closer than you are. All it takes is trust. Do you trust in Jesus? Do you trust him with your life? For us, this is faith. We know that it is through faith that we are saved. We have to believe that when our time comes, that through our faith in Jesus, we will not go into that fiery pit, but we'll get to spend eternity with Jesus. Now, you might be asking yourself, is Jesus faithful to me? He is. John 14:18 says, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Revelation 19:11 says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true." Psalm 33:4 says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth." And when you call on him, he is there. He listens to what you say in prayer. He speaks to you. You can call on him day and night. The only question is, do you ask for things for your own gain, things of this world? Or do you ask for things to help your brothers and sisters? Do you ask for things to further his work and to further his kingdom? But as far as trust and faith, David said it the best. In Psalm 23, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So what is another thing that those who are in a strong marriage or relationship do? They extol the deeds and the character of the other. In other words, they honor them. If you are a parent, you not tell others of your son or daughter. And you can always ask anyone on the playground and hear that you're the best grandparent, father, mother that there is in the whole world. For the women here, do you not tell others that what your husband has done, say like when he brings you flowers or prepares a romantic dinner? And for the men here, do you not tell everyone how great your wife is? And in all honesty, since we're in church and we can't lie, we usually do tell the truth that we don't know why she married us in the first place. But that's beside the point. We just got beat him to the punch. And usually you'll hear someone say that when they're talking to the other person, they are the best thing that has ever happened to them. And why do we do this? It's love. When we are putting them above ourselves and testifying about their character and who they are to others, it's because we love them so much. Now you may ask, how does Jesus praise us? And the answer is that he defends us in front of the Father. 1 John 2:1, if anyone does sin, we have someone who pleads with the Father on our behalf, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He advocates for us before the Father. He is literally defending us from an eternity in hell. Zechariah 3:1-2 says, then he showed me the high priest Joshua standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Indeed, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this man a brand plucked from the fire? So then why is it so hard then to tell of his exploits, his love, his endurance, his sacrifice? The truth is that we are called to testify. John 15:27, but you will testify also and be my witnesses. And you testify about Jesus to other people. You testify about all that he has done in your life, all the ways he's worked in your life, in both the good times and the bad. However, just with when you testify about anyone else, it has to come from the heart. And it should be out of love. And even if you're not there yet, if you're not ready to give testimony, ask God to help you. He will. And always be honest with it. And it's also helpful for you to remember the ways God has worked in your life. Keep a journal. You can look at it. You can see all the ways he has worked in your life, all the things he has done for you, and the good and the bad. And when you look back upon it, like say you're hiking to a mountain, when you start out, that mountain's way off in the distance, and you don't know what's between you and it. But after you've walked for a while and you start climbing, you can look back and see over everything that you've gone through. And so it is with the journal. Now, when you love someone, do you not give them gifts? Do you get joy out of giving gifts? I didn't say getting, I said giving. I'm getting back at you. So do you even get more joy out of watching the person that you gave the gift to use it and enjoy it, like your spouse or children at Christmas time? Jesus gave us many gifts, both of himself and through the Holy Spirit. So John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. John 15:26, when the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. Galatians 5:22-23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Ephesians 4:11-12. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. How have you chosen to use these gifts? Have you even chosen to accept them? The truth is that we have been given these gifts to use. We have been given these spiritual gifts, and we should use them since they are for our benefit, but more importantly, they further the work of Jesus and his kingdom. Say, for instance, your wife got you a chainsaw for Christmas, but all it's doing is sitting on the shelf in the garage gathering dust. Now, she's sad because you're not using the gift that she gave you. But what if you took that saw and cut up a bunch of firewood and built a nice warm fire on a cold winter's day that you both could enjoy? or at least that she would enjoy, which would make you happy because you love her so much. In the same way, we should use the gifts that we have been given out of love of Jesus and to do his will. So another area is communication. How often do you talk to Jesus? In other words, how often do you pray? How often do you listen? It may be hard to believe, but Jesus still talks to us. He talks to us both through this book and in prayer. John 16:12-14 says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. And John 14:14 says, you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. It is through the Holy Spirit that Jesus talks to us. Now, it takes two to communicate effectively. Those who have been walking with Jesus for a long time can testify that he listens. But he listens best when you speak from the heart and you speak honestly and truthfully. John 5:15, and we know that he hears us. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now, on the flip side, you have to listen. So Ruth Messenger put it best when she said, the difference between hearing and listening is paying attention. You might not like what he says, but as anyone who has been in a relationship for a long time can tell you, that those whom we trust and that we love tell us the things that we do not want to hear, not out of spite, not out of bitterness, not out of anger, but out of love, out of respect, and wanting what is truly best for us. This is how Jesus talks to us. He wants to see us grow and become truly the best that we can be. How often do you tell Jesus that you love him? Daily? Weekly? Anyone, be it a parent, child, or husband, or wife, tell the other that they love them often. More than that, though, they reaffirm their commitment to them daily. In a marriage, both people tell the other that they love them, but they show it. And they also tell each other that they are happy that they married him. It's not just for the wedding day. It's not just, this day and this day only, I've married you, and that's it. I don't have to say it ever again. Or like when your baby's born, you're like, oh, you're my son or my daughter. Okay, well, that's the last time I'll tell you. It's not like that. We tell them, we show them all the time because we are building that relationship with them. We're making it stronger and stronger. And so it is with Jesus. We have to commit ourselves to him daily. And it should be, our love for him, our relationship with him should be reaffirmed daily. Now, you can say that he encourages us, which is what we do to those that we love. So for the men here, say your wife took up knitting. Now, you probably don't care for it. There might be some of you do, but you probably don't care for it. But you would encourage her if she wanted to do it. If she made mistakes, you'd lift her spirits back up. And you would be there helping her. And you would even probably find yourself in a yarn shop, even though you never dreamed of going in one. So, and for the women here, if your husband wanted to go fishing, you'd be there to urge him on, to push him forward. And when he came back skunked, because it does happen, more to some of us than others, you'd be there to lift his spirits up. And it might be that you would even go with him, if nothing else than just to read a book. So Jesus does the same for us. If we look at the Apostle Paul, he compared his journey in this world as a race. 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. Now Paul went through a lot. He was beaten, shipwrecked, whipped, imprisoned, talked down many times. Yet Jesus was always with him, encouraging him on, cheering him up when he was at his lowest. 2 Corinthians 11:24-26. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes, minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. That's what he went through. Now, Acts 23:11. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem. So must thou bear witness also in Rome." Acts 27:23-24. Last night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you." Now in the same way, Jesus encourages us. If it were not so, why would we turn to his words in the Bible during times of trouble? Why would we not pray to him when we're in despair and dismayed? And yet, after both times, why do we feel better afterwards? Because he encourages us. And we encourage one another because we are dedicated to one another. Jesus encourages you because he is dedicated to you. Romans 12:10 says, "Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves." So how devoted are you to Jesus? Do you honor his commands? John 15:12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you." Do you take his name in vain? Do you lie? Do you cheat? Do you steal? Or do you put him and his wants above yourself? Now in today's world, it may seem that none of us have any time for Jesus. We have so much that we need to do. And for a few, that might be true. But how hard would it be when you're driving to the store to turn the radio off and pray? How much more important is that song on the radio than Jesus? Do you really need to check Facebook every 5 minutes? And for some it's two, but we'll go five. Or would it be better to just let it go and read a little Bible verse? Now you may be asking yourself, why should I be dedicated to Jesus? How dedicated is he to me? Well, Jesus wants to see you saved. He went through temptation with Satan in the desert. He was beaten, spit upon, called names, mocked, tortured. He was rejected by his people, and he was rejected by his friends, only to be nailed up on a cross to save us. Did he want to do it? No. Matthew 26:39. He went on a little further and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." He didn't want to go through it. He didn't. I don't think any of us would. But he loved you enough to go through it. He was, and still is, dedicated to saving us, even when we think that we don't need it. Matthew 28:20, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." I urge you to be dedicated to him, to put your whole heart into whatever it is that you do with him or to spend time with him. Now, one of the biggest ways that you can show dedication is to not find excuses to skip out on things, but find reasons to do them. This is spending time with Jesus. It is the greatest gift that you can give. Money is fleeting and things of this world are easily destroyed. But does anyone who can tell, who's been in a marriage for a long time can tell you, spending time is the greatest gift that you can give, and it spans both time and distance. Now granted, there might be some couples out there who say it's our time separate that has made us successful. But I assure you that's not true in this case. And as Zig Ziglar said, spend time with those that you love. One of these days you will either say, "I wish I had," or "I'm glad that I did." Going back to the radio idea, it's finding the time. If you examine your day, there are lots of opportunities to spend time with Jesus, be it driving, working out, cooking, fishing, hiking, hunting, knitting, working a puzzle, watching TV, vegging out. The interesting thing that I have found is that when you start finding reasons to spend time with Jesus, you start finding out what is truly important in your life. And the things that you thought were important aren't. How much time does Jesus spend with us? He is with us always. John 14, 20. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I in you. John 17, 24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Matthew 28, 20. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And in fact, he wants to spend all eternity with us. John 14, 3. And after I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to myself so that you will be where I am. All we have to do is turn around. Just turn around from all the distractions that this world throws at us and turn to Jesus. Read the Bible. Meditate on it. Meditate on it as you would meditate on what you're going to do this weekend or the next weekend. Pray. Pray as if there's something that you just have to get out your chest, that you just want to cry out to the whole world. Listen to a sermon, either on TV, on the radio, on podcast. Just find reasons to be in the Word. Now, there's always room for improvement in any relationship. There is no perfect relationship here on earth. And we usually think to ourselves, if only I'd spent more time, if only I had done things differently, if only I'd helped out more. In any relationship that you're in, the same holds true for the greatest relationship of all, that with the Savior. Does Jesus truly love you? Well, he's always with you. He testifies about us to the Father day and night. He encourages us constantly. We can talk to him at any time, and he will answer us. Maybe not at that moment, but he will. He gave us gifts without even asking for them. He is patient with us, even when we don't deserve it. He wants what is best for us, even above our own desires. He wants to spend time with us. Most importantly, he put the needs of ourselves above himself for all time when he took our place on the cross and died for our sins. If you do not believe me, let us look at what Scripture says. John 14, 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. John 14, 21. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. John 10, 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and they know me. John 10, 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. John 15, 15. I no longer call you servants. Instead, I have called you friends. John 15, 13. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, but that should be holy and without blemish. Now you may think that Jesus doesn't want a relationship with you after everything that you have done, and you are wrong. You're forgetting the most important part of any successful relationship, forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, in this book, you can find many examples of those who have come before you who have done the exact same things that you have done, and even worse, trust me. And he forgave them. And he'll forgive you if you ask him, if you truly ask him. Because he wants a strong relationship with you, not just now, but forever. The type of relationship that you have with him is entirely up to you. He's calling you. What steps are you willing to take? I urge you to take that step of faith and grow with him. Now, if you want, Pastor Brad and I will be up here if you want to come talk to us. We'll hear you and pray with you.